welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Right, so in the songs and in the prophetic stuff and everything that was just happening there in the worship, I don't know about you, I hope that you were getting from God just how awesome, how amazing is his love for you.
Yeah.
You know, it really is without end. And it's not going to give up. As it says in that song, it really isn't going to fail. It is endlessly patient. He is endlessly kind. And no matter how much you've blown it, messed up, whatever you've done, he's still there for you. He doesn't want you to blow up, you know, mess up and get it all wrong, because you get hurt in those situations. You get damaged. So that's why he doesn't want you. And of course he calls you to live. He makes you holy and righteous so you can live a holy and righteous lifestyle. And that's and I think that where we're going this morning, I was wondering how we were coming onto it with what God's been doing, really. And I think it's out of that, you know, because it's when you know that you're loved, you become suddenly much more confident. When you know that somebody is not going to let you down, you're suddenly so much more bold. And that's where God wants us all to be, where we all know that, you know. And some of you, when I say things like that, you might feel a little bit guilty because you don't feel like that. You know, you don't know that you can fully trust God. And you get a bit scared when we're talking about some of the things we want to do. You know, you're like, oh, I don't know if I can cope with that. That's all right. God's going to take you there. We grow into these things. You know, it's we live by grace. Sometimes there's a verse, Ephesians 2, 6 and 7 says, "For it is by grace that we have been saved through faith, and this not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Now, most of you, if you normally go to church, probably would agree with that. Yeah, by grace we're saved, not by anything of ours, not by works. But sometimes, it's even in the charismatic, happy, clappy, do-woppy-boppy church like this, I do woppy boppy. Yeah, I quite like that. What sort of church do you go to? Oh, we go to a do woppy boppy church. I do laugh when people say, "Oh, it's a happy clappy church." But what do you want to be in then? A miserable sit there church. I want to be happy. How many times did Jesus preach, "Bless, bless, 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 bless"? And as you know, the Greek word means happy. He wants his people to be happy and full of happiness and life and joy. You know, we can get so sit there serious. Let's be do woppy boppy instead. That's a whole new word invented just for today. Hallelujah. Now, so out of this comes this prophetic word from Isaiah. And again, many of you in this room, I'm sure, know your Bible. And for those of you that don't know your Bible, you're just about to be introduced to an absolutely awesome prophecy from a guy called Isaiah. Now, Isaiah lived hundreds of years before Jesus, but the book of Isaiah that's in the Bible is incredible because it just talks about Jesus all the time. Either talks about Jesus or he talks about the church. Now, he's also talking about his people in that day, the people of Israel, and a lot of the stuff he wrote down applies to the people of Israel today and what's happening out there. But that's not our topic today. We're looking at what God is saying to us today. So if you go right back into the Old Testament, you find that we're linked right into the very beginning. And so all the promises that God gave to his people, we inherit as well. So that's why we can read the Old and say, "That's for me." You know, not even just for us, that's for me. And then suddenly the Old Testament can become very alive. And so this is one of those passages that those of us that are granddads know well. Because we've been around for a while. But if it's new to you, let it excite you today. It's Isaiah 60. Some of you are probably already thinking, "Arise," because that's the first word. Here we go. All right. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears on you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm." Particularly one special one at the moment. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. There you are, the happy clappies. The whoppy boppies. Not those miserable cities. Doesn't make sense, Paul. Move on. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land. That'll shock them in Scarborough. Young camels of Midian and Ephah. And all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. All Kedar's flocks will be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth will serve you. They will be accepted as offerings on my altar, and I will adorn my glorious temple. And you can read on. You can read on and you can think, what does that mean? But there's lots of stuff in there when you start taking that and realizing it's for the 21st century as well, even though it was written 2,500 years ago. It's still for now. Because the great thing about God is he's outside time, you see. So anything you read about God applies to any time. And that's why the cross is so significant. Well, sometimes we think of the cross and what happened there, you know, 2,000 years ago. It didn't happen 2,000 years ago, it happened now. Because that event is as if it were outside time and applicable to any person at any moment. You need forgiveness, you can go to the cross now. Jesus is on the cross now just as much as he is in heaven. Because all that is outside time. It's done. It's happened, but it's happened for you right now. It gives you victory right now. Hallelujah. It was the price paid that we could have. Last week we were talking about covenant. Sorry if you missed it. You could listen to it on the internet. But it was powerful. Joyce was speaking. And it hasn't left me all week. Do you know what? The same Sunday morning, without any communication, Clive Urquhart was preaching, which is our sister church in Horsham, on covenant. Wow. Hallelujah. So it's really important to us at the moment. We're going to be revisiting that as time goes on. But the Lord said not this morning for some reason. So we got this. Right. So out of the love that he has for us, you see, that's why we can arise. The word literally means stand up. And it, as a word to the church, it's time for the church to stand up and shine, become the light. As it says here, the problem, and you can see this by reading your newspaper or watching Sky, see, darkness covers the earth, thick darkness covers the earth. And it does, doesn't it? But the trouble is sometimes the church gets so het up on what the darkness is doing, it forgets that we're the light. You know, and we're not just some little light that's going to shine. The light that shines from us is God's glory. Hallelujah. You know, there is a blasphemous song from the 70s. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine. It's blasphemous. This little light, what are you talking about? It's the glory of God that's in you. Hallelujah. Sorry if I just rubbished your favourite song. You sing it to yourself in the bathroom. But the rest of the time, we'd never sing it here because it's wrong. It's not a little light. It's the wonderful, glorious light of Jesus. And it's supposed to be shining out. You know, I think one of the things I want to point out this morning is I am going over here with purpose. I've not just gone strange. Because over here I have a prop. This is a very rare occasion. It's not even a tissue box. No, that's a special joke just for Dave. Now, Dave's sitting up there just next to Steve. Don't stand up. Careful you don't hit your head. I know you're tall. But this is Dave Thomas. He's come to join us. And he's the latest. He's come to join the staff. He's our intern up from Horsham. And he's an amazing guy. I've known him since he was that high. He really was that high once. He was fully part of J24/7 in the day. So it's great to have him here with us. Yeah, hallelujah. He's great. So you'll be getting to know him as well. Now, yeah, box. Because, you know, it's basically, the problem is a lot of the church is walking around like this. I've got to be careful now because I might walk off the stage. You might not remember much from this morning, but you'll remember this bit. I tell you what, the lights aren't so bright now. Still can't see you very well, though.
Start
The church is walking around with its head in a box.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to get rid of the box and shine.
Yeah.
Horsham is a better place. Now, this sounds incredibly arrogant. Don't get me wrong, right? Horsham, no, not Horsham, we're in Scarborough. That's talking about Horsham earlier, I'm sorry. It's been a long week, promise you. We actually got to sleep last night, that was a real bonus. Now,
hallelujah.
Scarborough, that'd be where we live, you remember, by the sea. Right, Scarborough is a better place because you live here.
Yeah.
And in fact, you can go, you can say, I wouldn't walk around the streets saying it too much, or you might get a few odd looks. Scarborough is a better place because I live here.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That's right. Do you believe
that?
That's
right. Yes, I do.
Come on, do you really, really believe that?
Yes.
And not just Scarborough, because you don't all live in Scarborough. So wherever you come from, Scarborough is because you come to church here. So Scarborough is a better place because we're all here.
Yeah.
But so is Driffield and Langtoft and Thwing. And wherever you're from today, Leeds or Bridlington.
Yeah.
And all the others. Humanby. Yes, how could we forget the biggest village in Britain? Sorry. Hallelujah. Humanby is a better place. Because you're there.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. It's true, though.
Yeah.
But sometimes we get so ever so humble, ever so wearing a box on our head. Oh, woe is me. I don't want the world to see me. I'll hide in my little box in the corner. You know, sometimes the church hides in the box and lifts up a flap and goes out into the world for a bit of mission. And then they're back in the box again. Time to rise up. It's time to get out the box.
Yeah.
You know, there's a great expression, isn't there? Thinking outside the box. The church needs to be the most creative, out-of-the-box thinkers there are around.
Yeah.
You know, we're thinking of different ways and original ways and creative ways to present the gospel and be church.
Yeah.
You know, what haven't we tried yet? What about a Christian surfing school for penguins? No, but that's probably, you know, a little on the ridiculous side, but... A little? But, you know, we've got to think creatively and try different things.
Yeah,
you know, one of the great things about having university students in the church is, in theory anyway, you're at university to sort of expand your minds. But Christians need to expand their minds as too as well. You've got them together. Christians tend to get this little box of this is church. You know, and when Jesus came, he blew the mind of all the legalistic people around him.
Yeah.
All those that just had a legalistic faith, if that can be what it's called. He just blew it out the water. He constantly wound them up. He constantly teased them. He constantly called them names because he was trying to shake them free from the box they'd put over their heads. You know, and we need to do that, but we need to do it to the world as well because the church, the world has got used to seeing Christians in boxes. You know, they put them in boxes. The church is over there. It's not relevant. I don't need the church. I don't need God in my life. They might think about God. They might believe in God even on one level, but they certainly aren't going to have anything to do with church because we've been so boring and so involved in ourselves. You know, even the happy, clappy, doopy, whoppy, boppy church, you know, for want of a better expression, you know, that can actually be the worst. We can be the most self-absorbed little bunch ever. You know, let's have another meeting to get filled with the Spirit and pray in tongues. You know, and we stay in our little cliques or our little cinemas. That's not so usual, but, you know, and we stay in there and we forget we're called to the world.
Yeah.
Come on, that's good.
And the Word of God says, rise, stand up and shine. And why can you do that? Because you realize that God loves you so much. And you might make some mistakes doing it, but, you know... Doesn't matter. It really doesn't. Rather, you ran with something and it turned out, actually, God's not in that, then you just sat safe.
Yes, good.
God risked all when Jesus came.
Yeah.
There was no plan B when he left his church in the hands of 11 men. There was no plan B. Even when they cast lots to get the 12th. There was no plan B. Arise, shine, for your light has come. I don't want to get all sort of fanatically religious about it, but you know, if you look at the world newspapers, BBC News, whatever, I think there's plenty of signs that we are living in the last days. And even if we're not, we need to live like we are, because that's what we were told to do. The last days can go on a long time, but there does seem increasing intensity, doesn't there? The world's a mess. There seems to be more and more natural disasters happening all the time. There's wars and rumours of wars, as it says in the Bible. And on one level, they've always gone on. But was there ever a time before when wars and disasters were showing in our front rooms? In high definition 3D. You know, it's right there in the front room with us. Oh, I think we could be living in the last days. We haven't got time to mess about. Now, you guys that are here for your first time today up from Scarborough Campus, we absolutely love having students in this church, and it's really great to have you here, especially as you've been so brave and sort of come right at the beginning. That's awesome. But we want to go forward as a church, together, being creative together, doing things together in these last days, because it may be that there's not much time left and people need to be saved. I don't know about you, but I love to see people healed. Don't you? And we've seen a lot of people healed. There's been, you know, miracles happening in this place. Even if we put to one side how Elizabeth's life just completely changed from one of, you know, bombing off on her own. Well, she had an ambulance. She's not that independent yet. She has gone to Leeds and back without her family, though, so she's quite independent. Without putting the miracle of what's happened in her life, and it is a miracle, when you look at what happened and what the results were and then how it turned out, and it's gone from that, you know, where there was going to be surgery and looking at a long time of her being in hospital till she's home this weekend, is a testament to all those people that prayed in faith. You know, and to the faithfulness and the love of God. Standing on his word and standing on his word and standing on his word. You know? I mean, bless her, Elizabeth. She did have to be born into our family. As you know, we've had a few bouts with sickness over the years, haven't we? But the good thing is we're still standing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we're still standing together. But a world in crisis needs a church that will stand, not sit down, not hide, not live with a box over its head wishing the world would go away. You know, it needs a church that's rising up. The world is demanding a living, breathing, active, full of fire church.
Yeah.
Now, that kind of church the world might take an interest in. Not in our meetings particularly, but if we're out there doing stuff.
Yeah.
If we're interesting people, you know, because we are interesting people. We're full of the Holy Spirit, are we not? The Holy Spirit is the most creative entity ever. That's why we should be the most creative people ever. Look back into history. Where did all the artists and scientists come from? Out of religious belief. Why? Because it was the inspiration and the creativity of God just exploding out of them. Science was born out of Christianity. A lot of art was just Christian art, painting this and painting that and trying different techniques so they could do this and do that and try that out. You know, it was all centered around faith. I mean, some of it was a kind of legalistic faith, but it was there. But the darkness is rising. We're not going to cut it if we're just some sort of sleepy otherworldly group. The world's not interested in that. If we're stuck in the 19th century, but what about if we're stuck in the 70s? I love 70s rock. You know, you might have noticed there's a touch of influence on the music we do still. But actually, I was trying to find out what was... Apparently Pink Floyd are really in with 18-year-olds, apparently. So they're seeing the light in that generation. But we can't be stuck in the 70s or the 80s or the 90s. We have to be 2011, up to date. Not changing the gospel one iota, But being wise like Jesus and knowing how to communicate the gospel with our generation. He knew how to do it with his generation. He sat on a hillside and taught. They were used to that. He told stories. They understood that kind of thing. He acted like a rabbi. He dressed like a rabbi. You know, John the Baptist, he was weird. He was weird. He wore sackcloth and weird clothes and ate honeyed locusts and preached in the desert and baptized people in water. But Jesus, he was pretty much a regular rabbi. It's a bit shocking to think about Jesus as regular. But he was. He had his group of disciples and he sat down to teach in the traditional way. He did a lot of the normal stuff as well because he was appealing to a culture. He went to parties. He went to weddings. He sat and ate food with people. He didn't just have esoteric meetings on top of a mountain. Although he did have one of them. Yeah. It's not to say that spiritual and do-do-do-do-do type stuff is wrong. It's not at all. You know, give me a night in the spirit. Give me powerful times in God. Yeah, come on, bring it on. Yeah. But also, we need to be relevant to people around us. Yeah? So this standing up doesn't just mean standing up and being more like we are. It's discovering more of who God is. You know, and maybe Pink Floyd is a little bit out in this generation. You know, maybe our music needs to be what people are listening to. The Salvation Army, the brilliance of William Booth, was to take popular songs, rewrite the words, and play it on the streets and gather crowds. Yeah. What wisdom. What insight. We need to grasp that back. He did that in the 19th century. They wore uniforms because it made them look respectable and somebody worth listening to. Culturally, then, to wear a uniform was brilliant strategy. If we wore a uniform today, in what we're doing here, not saying the Salvation Army shouldn't do it because they're living in a different way to what we are, but in the way we are, it would cut us off. Yeah, we need to be like the world, but not in the world, not adapting. You know, we have friends in the world, but we don't adopt. We don't adopt the customs and the morals of the world. Yeah, as far as the world's concerned, sleeping together, fine, no problem about it, as long as you're in love. But we know there is a higher standard. And it might be a hard standard if you're a young couple and you love one another. But it's not a nasty thing that's brought in. It's brought in to enable you to have a better marriage. That's why it's there. Anyway, that's off topic. So, yes, we'll have more music. Perhaps more like Muse or Kings of Leon. Killers. I'm trying to think of bands that I know that are sort of kind of... Are they kind of now? I mean, I'm a granddad now, so I'm way out of date, you know. I mean, I'm told that for a lot of people, rock is back in, but I think it should be. Anyway. Doesn't it bother you, though? That when people just sit around being church, when there's people out there that need healing. I was saying earlier, I like to see people healed. But God's given us an anointing to go and see people healed, so we better use it. But how about seeing people saved? That's even better. That's awesome. A lot of what we do on Sunday mornings, not in a cold, calculating way, I want church here to be as welcoming and as friendly as it possibly can to people that don't yet know God or maybe have just got saved. Yeah, we've got lots of other stuff for us. I mean, I get loads out of Sunday mornings. Don't get me wrong. I love the worship here. I would say I love the preaching, but I'd better say that when I'm not preaching. But I do. I mean, I do. I love the stuff. I mean, last week, for example, brilliant stuff. You know, we are very blessed. There's so many people that could teach here. I wouldn't get a shot slot unless it was my job to organise it. I love the way people pray, but we don't have to cram everything into Sunday morning. You know, we did have some times of singing in the spirit and stuff like that today, but I'm not desperate to get lots and lots of that in on Sunday because it can seem a little bit odd to some people, a bit weird. But there needs to be enough that people can grasp there's more. You know, but we've got Thursday nights if you really want to get lost in God and go, you know, get carried away in an hour and a half worship or praying all the time or really grrr. We don't, if you've noticed, I don't know if you've ever noticed, we don't do an awful lot of prayer as such. on a Sunday morning. Shocking. But we do the rest of the time. You know, we do a lot of prayer, but it's not so accessible to people, people praying out loud, is it? Especially if we're having one of those really go-for-it prayer times, which are the best. We don't usually have times of soaking on a Sunday morning, you know, just having quiet music and just being away with God. But we do have times of soaking. So sometimes we have to remember what Sunday's for, and part of our vision, mission, aim is for Sundays to be as appealing as possible without compromising what we believe and do to those that don't yet know God. Because we want to see this church grow with people who are getting saved. We want it to be a place, don't we, where we can invite our friends along, and we know that it's going to finish about 12:45, whatever's happening. You know, if God comes and vastly overrules everything, we'd just carry on. But it's very easy to get into a habit of just carrying on. When you're worshipping in a way with God, usually you can just go on and on and on. Like today, you could just let it go on and on. We could have worshipped the whole time today. Easy. And people might leave thinking, wow, it was great, God moved, we worshipped the whole time. But, well, yes and no, because sometimes you just need to listen. What are you doing, Lord? You know, we could get lost. The more spiritual we were, the more we could be lost in worship the whole time. You know, 24 hours a day if we were really on fire, wouldn't we? But it would be a pretty strange lifestyle. Not really one that God's called us to. Hallelujah. You still all out there?
Yeah.
That's good. Wow. Now, I need to come to an end because it's just on 12:45. That's gone so quick. Did someone put my watch on? Did one of you get it when I wasn't looking? Sorry? Yeah, when I was in that box, some of you sneaked up and just, quick, 1/4 hour on. Well, we're not going to have much of a response this morning. But anyway, let's finish. Oh, it was bothering me about people needing healing and church just sitting around. You know, if a church is just singing hymns, speaking in tongues, prophesying, when communities are going to hell, it's something wrong. Yeah. No matter how wonderful and glorious a time they had. You know, I think in the 80s and the 90s, and also the 70s, God did something in the church in this land. It wouldn't be where it is today if it hadn't have happened. But God never intended it just to be for church. And I think this generation that we are now has woken up to everything that's happened. And we can still have laughing in the spirit and people falling over and all that stuff. But it's not going to be our focus. Our focus is going to be having a place where people can hear God and listen to him and obey him.
That's good.
Which means people are going to get saved because they're going to hear God and God says, come on, I want you. You know, you're gorgeous, you're wonderful. I want you on my team, says God. Hallelujah. And so we've got to stand up and arise. Let me just give you some verses and we'll finish with that. I was going to go a bit more through all this prophecy and I've only got the first verse done. So, oh no, I did get onto darkness. Tell you what, why don't you read it at home and say, God, what are you saying to our church now? What does this mean? What's all this stuff about camels? What does that mean for us? And sons and daughters, what does it mean for us? Because sometimes we preachers, we're just too guilty of spoon-feeding. And actually, we need to take a step back as the congregation, I'm including myself in that now, and start thinking.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, we've removed thinking sometimes in the spiritual church as well. Because the danger with thinking is it leads to disagreement. And then we get scared with disagreement, because in the Protestant church, disagreement traditionally leads to two churches or more. Oh, we can't all be in the same church. We disagree on that bit. Well, I think part of the 21st century church is growing up and realizing disagreement is part of life.
Yeah.
And you don't have to split just because you disagree on a bit of theology.
That's good.
And that's how we can have unity in the town with all the congregations.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, that's why I can wear a dog collar to the hospital. Because I'm an ordained minister. It's just that we don't normally wear them things. So read that at home and have a think. Email me what God's saying to you. I'd love to hear it. I really do. Just email it to me. I do usually read emails, unless they're masses and masses and masses, and then they get put on the to-do pile. Haggai 2:9, the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. All right, some people tell you that as the world comes to it getting darker and darker and darker, the church is going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. That's not in the Word. Even if the world does get darker, even if we are in the last days and things get more and more despairing, the church is going to be rising. The contrast between the two is going to become more and more and more and more and more.
That's right, that's right.
Until it will be impossible to be a weak, wimpy Christian. Because you won't be able to just exist in the middle. You'll have to choose one way or the other. And the church will get strong in those circumstances. Personally, I would rather church, let's rise up, let's do it now before it has to get like that. Where's the church strong in the world? Often where it's being persecuted. But that's only because persecution has to shake people out of apathy. But church, if we stand up now, knowing that God loves us and having that strength from that God loves us, we don't have to go through that. I'm convinced of that. You know, you don't punish a child unless they've done something. You know? Well, your mum used to sometimes. Kate's got some great stories of getting a smack because she's crying. Oh, you must have done something. Whack! She'd been stung by a wasp. But her mum's lovely. If her mum happens to listen. Next time I see her, she'll just go, whack! You must have said something when you were preaching. I'll just smack you to keep you in control. It's growing, it's changing. The glory of this house is greater than the former. So we're looking forward, saying, this is getting better.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
Last two verses and I finished. Ready? I came to bring light in the world, to deliver them from darkness, those who believe in me.
Right.
And no one, and this was my box one, which I didn't really ever get to, no one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden.
That's right.
It's time to get out of the box.
That's right.
You are a light in the world.
Yes.
Time to get out of the box. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden. Does it sound funny out there?
Yeah.
It sounds very funny in here. Or under a bowl or a box. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in may see the light. Burn the box. I think the Stephen Joseph Theatre might have objections to us lighting a fire in here. It's time to put the church on the stand. Called to impact the world, called to influence the world, called to transform the world.
Yes.
Amen. Dare to dream, guys.
Yes.
It is good.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Now, we were going to have a bit of time at the end for a response, but I blew that. That was all that stuff about babies. Babies put all schedules out, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the safe birth of Elizabeth. We thank you that Jeremy and Elizabeth are coming home today. Father, we thank you that it's a testament to your miraculous love impacting us as a church. And as we stand here right now, Father, we pray that that love would so inspire us, so impact us, so affect us, that we will be like that church that Isaiah saw, a church that stands up, a church that rises up and lets the light shine. Father, I pray for all the right reasons we'd be known in Scarborough. Because unless we're known in Scarborough, Jesus won't be known in Scarborough. And Father, we want to make Jesus famous in this whole region. Father, may Jesus be famous at the Scarborough campus. May Jesus be famous on the high street. May Jesus be famous in the supermarkets and in the theatres and in the schools. And Father, as we go out from here today, wherever we go, we pray that we would be light. That it really, truly, genuinely would be that where we go, it's better because we're there. That when we go, we take happiness with us. That when we go, we take smiles with us. That when we go, people are pleased that we are there. Because your love, your peace, your joy, your happiness would just be springing out of us. Not because of who we are, but because of who you are. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. You're awesome. You're powerful. You're mighty. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.